Now let's continue on with this quote. Smith, reporting on the birth of the church on Pentecost, quote, says, "On the day of Pentecost, which in that year fell on the first day of the week, Sunday," now notice how they go right into it then, you see, "Sunday, the Lord's Day, holds special significance to the Christian, not because of Jesus' resurrection on that day, but because the church itself was born on that day." Not so. The church itself was born when Jesus Christ began calling the disciples, and he said, "I will build my church," Matthew 16. They received the Holy Spirit on that day. While this fact alone may be insufficient to undergird Sunday worship, now you see, they're going after the weakness of their argument to state it may not be sufficient. Well, we're going to see that it really destroys their argument because they don't know what happened on the day of Pentecost with the children of Israel. And not knowing that, they are not understanding whatsoever the meaning of Pentecost. And Pentecost is a holy day of God, which happens to fall on the first day of the week. That is not endorsing Sunday keeping whatsoever. Just finish the quote here. While this fact alone may be insufficient to undergird Sunday worship, it nevertheless weakens the Sabbath's so-called hold on the very institution born on a Sunday. Now, we're going to see that that is not true. What happened on the Pentecost for the children of Israel when they came out from the land of Egypt? Now, if you don't have the tape, you can write for the tape from the Red Sea to Sinai, which shows and gives a chronology leading up to the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And what really happened was this. The law was given on Pentecost. Do you grasp the significance of that? Because if you believe in Pentecost, then you must believe in the Ten Commandments of God, including the Sabbath day. Not only was the Sabbath created by God in the beginning, not only was it reinstituted again for the children of Israel who lost the knowledge of it while they were slaves in Egypt. It was reinstituted in Exodus 16 before they got to Mount Sinai. But Mount Sinai, where the commandments were given, was the day of Pentecost. So if you accept and you endorse Pentecost, you must accept and endorse all the Ten Commandments, which include the Sabbath day. Now let's go back to Exodus 20. Let's see that. Most people don't even know that it occurred on Pentecost. So this gives an entirely different meaning. Now, since Pentecost is always on the first day of the week, when did God give his law? On the first day of the week. Did he authorize Sunday keeping on that first day of the week when he gave the law? Answer, no. Now let's just go through the first four commandments. And let's understand something. Just as James has said, if you keep all the law and offend in one point, you have broken the whole law. Now think on that in relationship to Sunday keeping. If you offend in Sabbath keeping plus keep Sunday keeping, You have broken the whole law. Now here, Exodus 20. Now this was on the day of Pentecost. Verse 1. And God spoke all these words. Will you listen to God? This is not Moses. Moses didn't get up on the mountain and speak these words. God spoke them. And which God? The one who became Jesus Christ. Because if you believe in the New Testament, in John the first chapter, in verse 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there was not anything made that was made that he did not make. So the one who became Christ spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. So if you keep Sunday, you have another God. You have another Christ. You're breaking the first commandment. Verse 4, second commandment. You shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that's in the earth beneath, that's in the water under the earth. Not even to make them. So if you have idols and statues in whatever church you go to, you are committing idolatry. And if you wear crosses and crucifixes and things of ancient religions, you are committing idolatry. If you pray to saints, you're committing idolatry. Not even to make it, let alone have it there so you can, as the Catholics say, venerate it or reverence it. If you have an idol, do you know you're worshiping the created instead of the Creator? God will not give his honor to anything that any man makes. God will not be bound by the injunctions of men, regardless of how they may sanctify and claim that it's holy. You shall not bow yourself down unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He made the world, he made the universe, he made everything that there is. And do you think he's going to give honor to a stick or a stone or metal or gold or silver? Now you just look at every idolatrizing nation and religion in this world, and you will see that they are under this curse right here in the Ten Commandments. Meaning that the Ten Commandments apply to all people everywhere at all times. Not just to you, but every human being on earth. Now you need to get your eyes and mind and ears open to understand the truth. Now you may think, well, my, these are strong words. Well, you want to meet Christ face to face and say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, and go into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels? Is that what you want? Well, if you don't repent and change, that's what you're going to get. Christ said so, not me. But you look at these nations with idolatry, where God says, I am the Lord your God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And what is hating God? Not keeping his commandments. Saying that God can be found in all religions. That's hating God. Christ is the way and the truth and the life. Now notice, verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And that is New Testament doctrine. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he is the one who spoke these words on Mount Sinai on the day of Pentecost. So for these Sunday keepers to come along and justify Sunday keeping by saying that the church was born on Pentecost, well, so was the nation of Israel born on Pentecost. And he gave the law. So if you endorse Pentecost, you must, by that very fact, endorse the Ten Commandments of God, including the Sabbath. So their whole reasoning is twisted and perverted and maligned because they have an agenda. They believe a lie. They don't believe the truth of God. They don't love God. Or they may purr and have nice, fuzzy, warm words, but they don't love God. Because we saw that if you love God, you will keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Have you found any burden here on any of this? None whatsoever. Now the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And the way it's taken in vain is by saying God said when he never said. Cursing and swearing by carnal, unconverted people in the world is the least of taking the name of God in vain. The greatest way to take it is pretend to serve God. Pretend to be a minister of God. Pretend to speak for God and preach lies. That is the uttermost of taking the name of God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Now let's understand something else. If you look at the way the Catholics have designated the Ten Commandments, they completely remove the second one concerning making idols and worshiping them. Why? Because if they left it in, they would condemn themselves by the very fact of their existence, and St. Peter's Basilica and every cathedral and every Catholic church everywhere in the world filled with idols and superstition. So they have to remove it. Now then, are you going to go along with removing the Word of God? Maybe the Protestants keep it in. But they come along, and just like the Catholics, they also remove the fourth commandment, not by taking it out, but by lying and saying that it has been shifted to Sunday. Now remember, on Pentecost, God gave the law. Do you understand that? And in the law is contained the Sabbath commandment. Do you understand that? Let's read it. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You can't keep Sunday holy. You know why you can't keep Sunday holy? Because God never blessed it and sanctified it. That's why. Pentecost is a holy annual Sabbath of God. But this gives no license to keep every Sunday on a weekly basis. This came once a year and still does come once a year and is on the first day of the week, but it has nothing whatsoever to do with license or permission to change the Sabbath commandment and to keep Sunday on a weekly basis. Nowhere does it say that. These lying and twisting words by men who want to shove their way right up into the nose of God are going to stand before the throne of God, and they are going to be judged for these lies. Now, if you want to believe them, go follow them. Go do that. But no, everyone's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, who is God, and give an account of himself. What will your accounting be? Now back to the fourth commandment here. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. He owns it. He rules it. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath day also. No other day. No other day. Sunday is not the Lord's day. The seventh day weekly Sabbath, which is Saturday, today, and God preserved the knowledge of the Sabbath all down through history so that people would not have an excuse to say, oh, time got lost, and I couldn't find which day it was. Listen, every Sunday keeper knows which day is the Sabbath, and they refuse to keep it. You think on that. Are you in that group? Are you going to refuse God? Will you really? Let's read on. You should not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. No other day. And as we've already seen in the series we did on the Sabbath, that it was man who made the edict concerning Sunday. And it was the pagan, Roman, but so-called Christian, Emperor Constantine, who gave the first law. And then it was reinforced with the Council of Laodicea in 364 A.D. And they always put it in the term Judaizing. Well, we'll have something to say what Judaizing is. Listen, understand, and mark this clear. If you love God and keep his commandments, you are not Judaizing. Judaizing is something else entirely different, which we will cover when we come to it. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter, which is, Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law. And we're going to see something that is very important. And then we will see why God gave the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And we'll go to Acts, the second chapter, and see. Now, after he gave the Ten Commandments, and all the people said, well, Moses, you speak to us, and we'll listen to you. All that God says, we'll do. So that's what they did here. Verse 27, Deuteronomy 5. Here's another account of it that's a little different than we find in Exodus 20, though it's a parallel account and gives the same story. You go near, they told Moses, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and you speak unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto you, and we will hear it, and we will do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I've heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto you, and they have well spoken all that they have said. Now notice verse 29. Oh, that there were such a heart in them. Because, you see, they needed the Holy Spirit. And another thing that most of the Sunday keepers do not understand is that God never offered salvation to Israel under the old covenant. That did not come until Christ. Do you understand that? Their good news was that they would be in the promised land. Our good news is we're going to be in the kingdom of God. Notice what he says here. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. Because God loved them, and God wanted them to do well. But the whole lesson of the old covenant is this: without the Spirit of God, you cannot keep the commandments of God from the heart. You can keep them in the letter for a certain period of time, which the children of Israel did. And the whole history of the children of Israel and Judah was that, as we have seen, that they would keep the commandments of God, and then they'd go into Sunday keeping and Ashtaroth worship and Baal worship, and then God would raise up a judge or raise up a king who would help them come to repentance, and they'd come back and start keeping the commandments of God again. And the reason that happened time and time and time and time again is because they didn't have the heart. So when we come to the church being born, supposedly, Acts the second chapter, let's go back there to the New Testament, Acts the second chapter. And what we have here is this. We have on the same day, Pentecost, being a first day of the week, God gave the Ten Commandments. So if you accept and endorse Pentecost, then you have to accept all the Ten Commandments of God. You can't pick and choose. You can't add to or take away from. It's all or nothing at all. Now, you may pick and choose by choice, but then you're living in sin. So that's why it's all or nothing at all in reality before God. So on the day of Pentecost, what God did was send the Holy Spirit on the same day he gave the law, and the Holy Spirit is that which enables you to love God and keep his commandments from your heart. Now let's begin right here in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and you can write in for the booklet, what is the meaning of Acts 2:1? Because the Greek makes it very clear, and this should be translated, and during the accomplishing or fulfilling of the 50th day, or the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Now what happened when they were at Mount Sinai and got to receive the Ten Commandments? There was the trumpet blowing. There was the darkness. There was the whirlwind. There was the sound. There was the voice of God. Now here on this day of Pentecost, it is the Holy Spirit which is coming, which is the power of God. And if you believe the Holy Spirit is a God and part of a Trinity, then you need to write for the booklets that we have on that God is not a Trinity. And you need to write for the two Jehovahs of the Psalms and the two Jehovahs of the Pentateuch. You need to understand, if you believe in a Trinity, and that's one of the hallmarks of Sunday keepers, you believe also another lie. And you can write in for a whole 55-page study in going through the New Testament, showing clearly through the New Testament, the Old Testament, verse by verse and word by word, that the Holy Spirit is the power of God, and that's what came here, the power of God. And this then gave the power to preach, the power to teach, the power to keep the commandments of God from the heart. That's why God began the church on this day, not to endorse weekly Sunday keeping. This is an annual Sabbath. And if you endorse this day, you're also endorsing the holy days of God and all of his annual Sabbaths, because you can't have one without the other. Do you understand that? God is not here to divide his word. Christ said, "Think not I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have come to fulfill. And until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, which is from the Old Testament, shall not pass from the law until all be fulfilled." And I tell you in the name of Christ, it has not all been fulfilled. And if you don't believe that, you just step outside the door of your house and you look and see, is the heaven and earth still here? Yes. Then one jot or one tittle is not passing the law. And if you don't believe that, then you're calling Jesus a liar. Now you think on that. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as unto fire. And this is not a baptism by fire. And all the Pentecostals who believe in speaking in tongues and baptism by fire, that's another deception of Satan the devil, which I don't have time to go into here today, because we're talking about refuting Sunday keeping. You can write in for that information. We'll send it to you. And it sat upon each of them. That's all the apostles. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What for? This was not a time of babbling and confusing. This was a time of preaching the wonderful works of God. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And a lot of them did not speak Hebrew. They spoke many different languages. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. And here's the reason why. Because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. It was intelligible. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Then it lists all the nations there, where they were from, even including strangers or Gentiles from Rome. Verse 11, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. So they understood. So God gave the power to keep his commandments on the day of Pentecost, the same day he gave the Ten Commandments to Israel. Now notice one thing else too that's important. The apostles began at the temple, and it had to be at the temple because that is where God placed his name. And if it would have been in any other location than the temple, it would not have been a sign and a witness to all of the Jews, because the gospel says, to the Jew first, then the Gentile. It would not have been a sign to those Jews that this was from God. It had to be there. And start right there. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what does this mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you this day, and listen to my words. See, because there were two miracles. One, each one of the apostles was speaking in their language, which was Greek. And every one of the Jews, wherever they were born, heard them speaking in their own languages and tongues. What a miracle that was. What a tremendous thing that was. And then he gave a great and a profound sermon, showing about the coming of the Spirit of God, showing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, showing the promise that applied to Christ to not leave his soul in hell, or that is in the grave. And then he said, David's tomb is with us to this day, but it is Christ who is risen, not David. Christ whom God sent, who did the miracles, who was in the tomb, as we've seen, 3 days and three nights, and was resurrected at the end of the Sabbath. Now notice what else he did. See what he preached here. Verse 32, this Jesus is God raised up, and they saw him. They felt him. They handled him. They heard him speak. They ate with him. He explained to them all about the prophecies concerning himself and the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms so they would understand. Now what do we have in the law and the prophets and the Psalms? Commandments of God, the Sabbaths of God, the holy days of God. Do you grasp what we're talking about here? If you keep Sunday, you don't know anything about the plan of God. If you think you're going to heaven, you don't have a clue. You need to get your nose in the Bible. You need to believe what it says and not the lying, twisting interpretations of men who justify their own sin. Now let's continue on. This Jesus is God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. They didn't count their lives dear to them. No. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, they knew where he went. They knew he was the high priest. They understood that. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is shed forth, which you now see and hear. So all of this was prophesied to happen in the Old Testament, wasn't it? And it happened. And it happened on the day of Pentecost, the holy day of God, on the same day that he gave the Ten Commandments, which included the seventh day Sabbath. Verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but says, he says himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit you on my right hand. Now, if you don't have the series of the prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament, you write for it. 11 cassette tapes going through verse by verse every one of the prophecies of Christ in the Old Testament. Absolutely astounding. Until I make your foes your footstool. Now notice what Peter preached here. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, not just to the Jews. The Jews came from Judah. House of Israel includes all the 12 tribes. Know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. And he was resurrected at the end of the Sabbath, not on Sunday. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. See, it's the Holy Spirit that leads you to repentance by the power of God the Father. And that's what happened here. They repented. They were pricked in their hearts. The Holy Spirit is to do that for those that God is calling. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life? Will you allow yourself to look at your sins and look at the things that you have been doing, which you considered righteous and good, but are just nothing but filthy rags before God, which Sunday keeping and Christmas and Easter is? Nothing but filthy, rotten rags. And repent. Can your heart be pricked? Can your conscience be stirred? Can God speak to you, as it were, through his Spirit? Pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. And that means turn from the way you've been living. And you need to do that concerning Sunday keeping. You need to turn from the broad way of pleasing men and Sunday keeping and the false gospel and the false Christ and the false gospels and things that you have heard. You need to repent of that. Repent of believing these lies. Repent of letting false ministers take you down the road. You need to come out of it. God says, come out of her, my people. And you come out by repentance, just like they did here. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and that remission of sins comes through grace by faith. Don't mistake 1 minute that we believe that Sabbath keeping justifies you for forgiveness of sin. That is a bald-faced Sunday keeper lie. We believe in the grace of God. We believe in justification by faith, just as the Scriptures say. For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you need, the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that you can do the will of God, so that you can love God, so that you can understand His Word, so that you can truly grow in grace and knowledge, so that you can truly comprehend the plan of God. And this is just the beginning. When you begin, you bury the old self in baptism. You bury the old way, and you say, Lord, not my will, but your will. And I am willing to die the very death of Jesus who died for me. And you're joined in his death. And you're raised out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life with God's Spirit, with keeping his commandments, with loving God, with serving him, with doing his will. That's what it's all about. So you see how trite, how absolutely lying and foolish and silly it is to go through these things. But so millions of people believe it. Millions believe it. And they believe a lie. Well, Peter finishes here. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Is God calling you? Will you answer the call? Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen, and the reason that few are chosen is because few repent. Very few are willing to repent and be totally broken in heart and in mind, and say, oh, Lord God, forgive me for my sins, which have crucified my Lord, that I personally have done this. You need to understand, as if you were the only one in the world, your sins would have killed Christ. Do you understand that? And if you want the sacrifice of Christ applied to you, you need to repent. And you need to have your life and your heart and your mind changed through the power of the Holy Spirit to love God and keep his commandments. That's what Jesus said. Now, there is no such thing as Christ authorized Sunday keeping that will give you salvation. No such thing. And Sabbath keeping does not bring forgiveness of sin. It keeps you from sinning. Now let's finish off by going to John 14. John 14. Let's see what Jesus said. And he said this on the Passover night of his last Passover. And by the way, if you keep the Lord's Supper, and if you keep a communion or a Eucharist, you don't have Christ. You need to write for our book, Christian Passover, which tells all about the very purpose of God and the plan of God, which begins with Jesus Christ, who is our Passover, sacrificed for us. Now, here's what Jesus said on that night as they left after having the Passover, and they were on their way to the Mount of Olives and then the Garden of Gethsemane. And he told his disciples, let's begin right here in verse 6. This is just before they left, just before they were ready to go. Verse 6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you believe that? And no man comes unto the Father but by me. It's going to be Christ or nothing. It's going to be his way or nothing. It's going to be truth or a lie. It's going to be righteousness or sin. What do you choose? Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the Greek has the force here. If you love me, keep my commandments. Because he was God in the flesh. He was the one who gave the Ten Commandments. When he says, keep my commandments, it includes all the commandments of God. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that it may abide with you forever. And I'm going to read it correctly from the original Greek. It is it. It's not he. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it sees him not, it neither knows it, but you know it, for it dwells with you and shall be within you, because the Holy Spirit is the begettal from God the Father. And I tell you something, beginning with Sabbath keeping is just a start. That is just a start to understand the great and marvelous plan of God is unfolded through the Word of God and through the holy days of God. And everything that it pictures is so absolutely marvelous. What a silly thing that we have to sit here and argue and fight this spiritual warfare concerning Sabbath keeping and Sunday keeping. And Sunday keeping cuts you all off from knowledge of these things. Now let's come here to verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and is keeping them, again, the Greek poieo is practicing them, he it is that loves me. So if you don't keep them, you don't love him. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The way that God is going to manifest himself to you is through his Spirit and his Word when you repent. Now, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Not just the commandments, it's word. Remember where we started with this? Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you believe the words of Christ? And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him by the power of the Spirit of God dwelling within you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now notice verse 24. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. Oh, and that's what Sunday keepers do. They reject it. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So God did not authorize Sunday keeping because the church began on the day of Pentecost. If you accept and believe Pentecost, though it is the first day of the week, you must accept all the Ten Commandments because that's the day on which it was given, and you must also accept the holy days of God because Pentecost is the holy day of God. And if you have one, you must have them all.